بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد I think some of us might wonder why are we here? Why do we have to study Islam? Why do we have to study, for example, the rules of worship such as the rules of wudu and to appropriately be ready for Salat, and in general, why do we have to study Islam? And that's an important question, like some people might inquire, why is it important? What does it mean to me, living in this time and age, that I am a Muslim? What does it mean that I am a Muslim? So the number one question is, why do I have to study Islam? Well, the Prophet ﷺ, our Prophet told us that طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, that seeking knowledge, and here it means seeking religious knowledge, meaning seeking the knowledge that will teach you about your Lord, about God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to worship God. This is primarily what you learn. So that knowledge, he said, it is a must, it is mandatory on every Muslim. And this is why the scholars of Islam has come up with two types of knowledge, of religious knowledge that we study. One is called al-ilm al-daruri, the necessary knowledge, meaning every Muslim on earth should know this knowledge. That is called what? Al-ilm al-daruri, the necessary knowledge. And the second type is al-ilm al-kifa'i. It is a knowledge that only the scholar has to know. So you and I may not have to know. Like, you don't have to study the details of hadith, the narrators of hadith, for example. These are very specific type of knowledge that only scholars have to learn and have to know. But for us, the common Muslims, we need to learn about the basics of Islam. We need to know about the basics of belief. When I say I believe in Allah, what does that mean? And the second part is we need to know how to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know those two basic rules or information, then inshallah you have satisfied the necessary knowledge that everybody has to know. So the first part, and that is very important, because if you don't know who you worship and why you worship, then worship itself does not make a lot of sense. And this is why the scholars have said the number one condition for any worship to be accepted is that you are a Muslim. So that's the number one condition. And that's why you see it in front of any worship, that the one condition you have to have is that you are a Muslim. So what does it mean when you say I'm a Muslim? Inshallah, we're keeping the Q&A till later for the sake of the sisters and also the integrity of the class. But inshallah, later I can ask you more questions and quiz you as well, because we have to have interaction. We need to interact and make sure you understand this. This is not some kind of information or knowledge that is complementary or supplementary. It's necessary, as we said. So, to be a Muslim, obviously, you have to say a shahada, or the two shahada. We all know this. But what does it mean? You know, the Prophet ﷺ told us in the hadith, من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه وأن الجنة حق والنار حق أدخله الله الجنة على ما كان من العمل. That's one hadith. The Prophet here in the hadith told us that if you bear witness that la ilaha illallah is true, that there is none worthy of worship except one God, Allah. So let us stop right here, because again, when we say shahada, some people get confused. What does it mean, I bear witness? Am I in court? I mean, why? What am I doing here? All you're doing is that you are declaring. So it's not just something inside. Of course, you need to believe in it, but it's also important to say it and to declare it. And that's why we say shahada. Because shahada is someone has to see it, has to witness it. And again, it does not have to be in a masjid where everybody is watching you. Some people are a little bit shy and they're not willing to stand up and say it in front of 1,000 people. But يعني, at least you have to be willing to say it and to be content with it, to accept it, to like it, to love it, and to live for it. So what does it mean when I say La ilaha illallah then? You're basically accepting the fact that there is one creator. And this creator created everything. Everything around us. Including ourselves. So he created me and you and everyone else. And this creator has no beginning and no end. He's eternal. And he has many names and attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So if you want to learn about God, if you want to learn about Allah, you open the Quran and you read about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tells us a lot about himself. So we learn about Allah through his names and his attributes. For example, when we open the Quran, the first thing we read is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We learn immediately that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. And that his mercy is encompassing. It encompasses everything and everyone. And ar-Rahim, the fact that his mercy is eternal for some people. That is ar-Rahim. But ar-Rahman is for everyone. So we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. Also, if you are, you know, starting from the end of the Quran, you read about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. When you read, for example, Surah Al-Ikhlas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. The whole chapter is telling us about God, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he tells us, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. But he's not just one, he's unique. Because أحد is different than واحد. واحد is one. أحد is unique. Meaning all of his names and attributes are unique. They're not like any other names. And Allah is not like anything else. That's why he told us in a different ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you imagine in your mind, know for sure that Allah is different than that. And this is the statement by one of the early Muslims. كُلُّ مَا خَطَرَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ خِلَافُ ذَلِكَ. Anything that occurs in your mind about Allah, then know for certain that Allah is different than that. That God is different than that. And this is a common question you get from children. Like they come and ask you, what do I do? I'm thinking about Allah and I imagine this, you know, whatever shape or image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we teach the kids that anything that comes to mind, anything that you imagine about the Creator, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know for certain, for sure, that Allah is nothing like that. And you probably notice already that I'm using Allah and God interchangeably. Because there is no difference. The word Allah in Arabic, and that's also something we have to learn. Because when we say we worship Allah, some people think we worship some God, you know, some people say moon God or something like that. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They think that Muslims have some special God or some God that is different than, you know, whatever they imagine. The point is, Allah in Arabic means God in English. And it means the Creator. So yes, of course, it does not mean something else. It does not mean Jesus. We do not worship Jesus. We do not worship any other prophet. We do not worship any angel. We worship the Creator of all of this. So that's very clear. There's no questions about that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Creator. He's like no other being. He's very unique in his names and attributes. And that's the one we worship. And his name in Arabic is Allah. In English, God. That's fine. With a capital G. Because I mean, it's just a name that is referring to something. As long as we agree on that something, no problem. And of course, we don't give Allah any name that does not belong to Him. We don't make up names. We don't make up attributes about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Surah Al-Ikhlas, He told us, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الصَّمَدُ. The one that is perfect in all of His attributes. That is one of the meanings of الصَّمَدُ. He is the perfect in all of His attributes. And then we say, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. That He did not, لَمْ يَلِدْ, He did not beget anyone. He does not have any children, that is. Because some people attribute children to God, to Allah. So here we negate this, that Allah cannot have any children, does not have any children. He's not like the human being or other creations that, you know, have children. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, and He was not begotten. He does not have any parents. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, He does not have any equal. There's nothing that is equivalent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you read the surah, which is very short, this is really the summary of Tawheed, monotheism. And if you believe in that, that makes you a Muslim. So it's very simple. We don't want to like complicate Islam more than necessary. We should have a very clear view of Islam. What Islam is, what it requires us to do, that should be clear to all of us, all Muslims. And then, you know, later you can increase your knowledge of Islam, no problem. But you have to, you know, believe in the basics. Same when it comes to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Because we say there's two shahada, it's not one shahada. It's not enough to say that I believe in God, I believe in a creator, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important to say, and it's actually mandatory to believe, that Muhammad is the messenger of God, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot be a Muslim just by saying that Allah is one, that there is one creator. You also have to believe that Muhammad is the messenger of God. What does that mean? It means that God chose certain people to deliver a message. So all the prophets, Nuh, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Musa, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad, and other prophets are messengers, and some of them are, you know, just prophets, but they were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the people, to tell the people what Allah likes and what He doesn't like, to tell people how to worship God. That was the primary message of the prophets. So someone cannot be a Muslim if he says, I believe in Allah, but I don't believe in Prophet Muhammad, or I don't believe in Muhammad. He's not a Muslim until he says, I believe in Allah as God, and I believe in Muhammad as a prophet, as a messenger. Or some people who say, well, Muhammad was only sent to the Arabs. This is not belief in Muhammad. We have to believe that Muhammad was sent to all humankind, to all mankind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in many verses, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He sent Prophet Muhammad to all the worlds. And other, you know, verses that mention that He was sent to people, to all the people. Also, when we say you believe in it, it means that you don't have any doubt. You don't say, well, I think, or I guess that Muhammad is a prophet. No, we say we believe. So believe means that you have no doubt. So you have to clear your heart from the doubts as well. And that's mandatory. It's more important than salat and zakat and hajj, that we cleanse our hearts from doubts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That on the day of judgment, nothing will be of avail. Nothing will help you. Not money, not, you know, children, except if you have a clean heart, a sound heart, a healthy heart. And here we're not talking about the physical health. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. It means that you have a clean heart, a heart that is full of belief in Allah and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important to realize that these two conditions are necessary. Belief in Allah and belief in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, when we say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just knowledge. Like, okay, fine, you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. He created everything. I acknowledge that. But you also have to believe that He is the one worthy of worship. Like, I only worship Allah and no one else. Because some people might say, I believe in God, the Father, they call it, whatever they call it. And then they go and worship something else. We say, no, only God is worthy of worship. One time the Prophet ﷺ was riding with Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an, one of the companions. And he asked Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqqu Allahi ala al-ibad wa ma haqqu al-ibadi ala Allah? He said, O Mu'adh, do you know the right of God upon his servants and the right of the servants upon God? Like, there's one right that everybody should know. One thing that you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do it, Allah will owe you back something else. We're going to see what it is. Mu'adh, you know, replied and he said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, I don't know. I want to hear your answer. So the Prophet said, حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا. The one right that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we worship Allah and we do not associate anyone else with Him. Meaning, we do not worship anyone else with Allah. Because again, it's not enough to say, oh, I worship God, but also I worship something else. Like some people might say, I worship God and I worship Jesus, or I worship a cow, or I worship a star, but I worship God. That's not enough. You have to say that I worship God and God alone. And that's what he says here. That's what he meant. تَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You worship God and you do not associate anyone else with God. And the second, or the other promise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That Allah, what Allah owes us in return is that He doesn't punish someone who does not associate anyone with Him or anything with Him. That is a promise from Allah to us, that He does not punish you and me if we worship Him, if we worship Him alone. So that's a very critical, you know, story, because it tells us the basics as well. That's why I said we have to return to the basics. So don't make Islam so complicated, it's so simple. We worship one God, and we follow the Prophet. What do we follow the Prophet in? I mean, we don't follow him, you know, in worldly affairs necessarily, right? You're studying science, you don't follow the Prophet when you study science. When you, for example, do something, you know, from daily affairs, unless there is something, and there's a proof. That's not what we talk about. When we say we follow the Prophet, it primarily means we follow the Prophet in how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the thing that does not change. Because we don't invent our worship. You know, some people might say, well, I worship God in the way I feel. Like I, you know, I stand up and do this, or dance, or sing, or make some music, and say, I'm worshiping God. So that's what we mean when we say we follow the Prophet. Primarily, it means that we follow the Prophet in how we worship God. So if the Prophet told us we worship God in a certain way, this is how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the meaning of belief in the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is exactly what we're trying to do here when we read the hadith telling us about wudu, about, you know, wiping like we did last time. Also later when we learn about salat and zakat and hajj, this is exactly why we read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, to learn how to worship God properly in the right way, in the right manner. Because it's unacceptable to go about your life, you live your life, mashallah, inshallah, you live a long life, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and you don't know how to worship God. Or you worship in a way that you just saw people around you worship, but you never learned it yourself. So it is important to learn Islam with evidence. Like, why do I do this? Why do I say this? Everything has evidence, has a proof. Okay. Inshallah. So this is the first segment, if you will, where I discuss something or I, you know, do maybe explain a foundation or a principle. And today I thought I want to focus on that because, like I said, this is a requirement for every act of worship. So it is incumbent, it's important that everybody understands the meaning of Islam, of the Shahada, of being a Muslim, and what it takes to be one like that. Okay, so I'll stop here for a minute and see if there are any questions, and if not, I'll ask you questions.